Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And we praise you, therefore, living Lord Jesus Christ, for your great promise that everyone who asks receives, and all who seek find, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Thank you that you are no more than a prayer away from each one of us. And therefore we say we do seek to know the truth. We want the door to eternity opened to us. And we ask that you would speak to us in your living word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Rachel.
Today's reading is Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16. Verse 16. Jesus continued, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and for the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it."
Well, Rachel, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. In the run-up to Christmas in 1984, you may remember that Sir Bob Geldof released the first Band Aid track. "Do They Know It's Christmas?" was the first of its kind, and it was followed by the Live Aid concert in 1985 with over 400 million people listening. But you may remember that Bob Geldof wasn't content simply to have us listen. He wanted action. And Michael Burke had presented two evenings of films in Ethiopia at the BBC news desk, and then there was an interview with Geldof, and no one who saw it, I suspect, will ever forget it. It was rather a shocking thing for the BBC, a first. Halfway through the interview, he simply, and I won't repeat it, slammed his fist down on the table and said in his inimitable Irish accent, "Look, just give us the money." Now, all the time, people are demanding our attention. And all the time, people are urging us to action. And all the time, in order to cause us to act, people are telling us that the stakes could not be higher. So this is the most important meeting of global leaders for the last 50 years, they say on the Today program this morning. Well, this afternoon, I want us to see that when it comes to the teaching of Jesus, we simply must listen well, and we simply must act accordingly, for the stakes could not be higher. Just 2 points from the passage that we're looking at. First, take care how you listen. The stakes are high. And secondly, be sure that you act. The stakes are high. Allow me to begin by explaining how I'm going to take this teaching of Jesus in verse 16 to 18, which may not be entirely as you would expect. Many of the commentators on this passage suggest that all of these verses must be about us and how we use the instruction we have been given by Jesus. So in verse 16, Jesus paints a picture of a lit lamp. And it would be absurd to put your lit lamp under a jar or under the bed. Lit lamps are for lighting. So people say the point of this parable is that now we have the truth of Jesus, we must make it known. Take the truth you've been given. Broadcast it far and wide. In verse 17, Jesus goes on to say that nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. And people who take this little section like this tend to suggest that the way we use the teaching of Jesus, those of us who've been taught by Jesus, will ultimately be plain for everybody to see, and therefore we are accountable in the way that we take the truth we've been given and pass it on to others. So then, for many, this passage is all about us and our ministry. Now, I have to say, I'm not entirely convinced, and I do know that the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel may well be about that. I'm not sure it is here. This section in Luke's Gospel is all about who Jesus is, and it's about the response of people to the identity of Jesus. It's not actually primarily about us engaging in ministry. Jesus has been teaching through the towns and cities and to vast crowds. And having explained his own identity, he keeps pausing and saying, okay, so what are you making of it? And Luke has deliberately organized the material as if we were almost in court or in the debating hall, in order that he presents one group of people who make this of it and another group of people who make this of it. And he keeps saying, well, don't go there, will you, as you listen to Jesus' teaching in your response. Or there, take this path. It's therefore much more natural to take this picture of the lamp as a parable about Jesus and his teaching. Verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. So then, the parable of the sower, which just precedes this one, showed us that Jesus spread his message far and wide. He went through every town teaching. His method was to broadcast, so that no one in the whole of Israel could have avoided what he had to say. It was public declaration of the truth. The parable of the light appears to be along the same lines. Jesus' teaching is public truth. It's a lamp put up on a stand so that everybody can see. Public truth operates like a light. You can't hide it. It isn't meant to be hidden. And verse 17 continues along the same vein, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. As public truth, the truth open to all also lays bare all who hear it. Now, truth operates like that, doesn't it? When truth is told, lies are seen to be lies. When facts are in the open, wrong things are dispersed. And so says Jesus, my truth is public truth for all to hear. And like a light, it will not only reveal to you what's going on, but will also be revealing, in that truth exposes lies and lays bare error. If we are exposed to the light, yes, it enables us to see clearly. But at the same time, light shows us up for what we are. Take care how you listen. So this is a parable about listening in the light of the public truth of Jesus' teaching. There is a king, King Jesus. There is a beginning. There is an end, Judgment Day. There is the possibility of salvation. You can have a relationship with God. Here is truth. Be careful how you listen. Now, we're going to look closely in a moment at the particular applications to us as individuals. But before we do that, I want just to pause and make a brief couple of comments on our culture and our society. The truth Jesus proclaims is public truth from God for our world. It is not a private affair to be carried out in a corner. As public truth, it exposes falsehood. You'll be aware that there's a growing move by those who call themselves secularists to seize control of our culture in Britain and to force matters of religion out of the public square and into the realm of private opinion. The secularist position is, of course, a faith position, like everybody else's. They believe that there is no God, or at least they believe there's no God that can be considered supreme above all other gods. And the secularists insist, as an article of faith, that all matters religious should be barred from the public sphere. The striking thing about the secularist is that as somebody like me begins to proclaim public truth, or people in offices and hospitals and schools begin to speak openly about public truth concerning Jesus Christ, so-called liberal secularism is almost totalitarian in its intolerance of those who challenge their faith position. You will have heard and read about Christians being apprehended by the police for speaking openly of their faith. One student here in London was told by the university authorities that she must cease speaking openly to her fellow students about Jesus Christ or be sent down. In our London schools, liberal secularists are at work amongst our children, seeking to prevent them speaking or being taught clearly about the Christian faith. A woman who does an immense amount of work in this area is a lady called Vixen Crabtree, and you can look her up on the website if you're interested. In order to enable tolerance and freedom of movement in multicultural playing field of the modern world, no one religion must be allowed to be taught or held as superior to any other. State buildings and events should not support any particular religion. Public events should avoid emphasis on any particular religion. Religious education in schools should be optional. And religious theories should not be taught in school as fact, not even by faith schools. These values ensure that official culture does not indirectly discriminate against anyone by enforcing one brand of faith over another. Oh, well, there is one brand of faith that you can enforce over another, the faith of secularism. That is totalitarian behaviour, isn't it? Bar freedom of speech and enforce your own point of view. Here is a slightly more robust analysis written by a columnist. Occasionally I have a mole who hands me these things in a brown paper bag. I don't take this newspaper myself, I hasten to add, but I was shuffled this across a table the other day, and here she is. The Christian faith that provided... She's writing in the wake of the Berlin Wall, the celebrations for its coming down. This Christian faith that provided the foundation for Western morality with its tolerance and freedom has been replaced by a moral and cultural relativism whose totalitarian mindset replicates the way communist societies clamp down on any other than permitted views. When the Berlin Wall fell, we told ourselves that this was the end of ideology. We could not have been more wrong. The Iron Curtain came down only to be replaced by a rainbow-hued knuckle duster, as our cultural commissars pulverize all forbidden attitudes in order to reshape Western society into a post-democratic, post-Christian, post-moral universe. Lenin would have smiled. But you see, Jesus will allow no such silencing of the truth. His truth is public truth from God, for all people, like a light. It isn't put under the bed or hidden away in some secret little prayer room in your office. It is for everybody to hear. Cannot be confined just to the spectator stands or outside the stadium. It's for center action on the pitch. And so, says Jesus, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it on a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. And quite gloriously, as the teaching of Jesus is publicly made known, the folly of those who, in the name of liberalism, ban freedom of speech is shown to be a lie and a futile stupidity. I want to encourage you to take a look at the Manhattan Declaration that's just been released in America. It's a pity that the Americans had to take the steal the march on us and put this out, but you might like, when you get home, to look at the Manhattan Declaration, and particularly the summary of it. You can get it online by typing in the Manhattan Declaration, and it'll tell you in Google where to go. Why not go there and you'll see a group of brave men and women who are determined not to allow the public truth of the Christian faith to be marginalised. Well, that was an observation about our culture, but Jesus goes on to apply this personally. Because his teaching is public truth, with a capital T, true truth, so the preaching and teaching of Jesus is not a neutral affair. There is no man's land, no grey area, no fence on which to sit when it comes to the teaching of Jesus. Because he is God and because his word is true, so as his truth is taught, why our hearts and minds are exposed. Light is shed. And so says Jesus, be very careful how you listen. Because the way I listen to the teaching of Jesus will tell me everything about me. That's the way light works. Light reveals, yes, the truth from God. Light exposes. So picture yourself arriving home this evening. The house is dark, you park the car in the garage, you head in through the front door, and you make your way to the sitting room. You sit down for just a few brief moments before turning on any lights or anything like that. After a busy day, you need a little respite. You think you will consider world affairs for a moment, and so you close your eyes, and before you know it, you have nodded off. 30 minutes later, your hard-working wife arrives back home. She comes in through the door and switches on the light. Everything in the room is lit up. What was once dark is now revealed. You can see clearly, but you also can be seen. Now, you can keep your eyes shut and pretend that you're not there, but that's the activity of the preschool toddler, isn't it? If I shut my eyes, no one will see me. No, as truth comes out into the open, lies are exposed, untruth is laid bare, truth reveals. Truth is revealing. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come into the light. Take care, then, how you listen. Now, this is immensely important. Jesus has just taught the parable of the sower, and he said, well, some people who listen are inattentive listeners, and Satan comes and snatches the seed away. Take care how you listen, says Jesus. Because that will be open for everybody to see in due course if you've just listened with your fingers in your ears and refused to allow the words of Jesus to penetrate into your heart and life. That will be laid bare. Others were ruthlessly enthusiastic listeners, you will remember from the parable of the sower. Hugely enthusiastic for 4 months, 6 months, here every Tuesday, listening and listening and listening. Very excited. But not actually put any roots down into the word. And so, come the summer, when things get a bit tougher or busier, they just wither and die. Oh, that will be exposed, says Jesus. Take care how you listen. And others, well, were so preoccupied with the cares of this world, my health plan, paying the children's school fees, the desires for pleasure, that next holiday, the cruise in retirement, the pension fund, whatever it happens to be, that actually the seed, which could have produced so much fruit, was simply strangled by the cares of this world. That will be laid bare, says Jesus. Take care how you listen. As I've thought about this passage this week, I couldn't help thinking of the position in our culture of the so-called thoughtful agnostic. The word agnostic comes from the Greek word agneo, meaning nothing or not to know. Know not, know nothing. A rather less polite description of the agnostic is ignoramus. Some of the most famous figures in our public life declare themselves agnostic. So the wonderful David Attenborough calls himself an agnostic. Did you know that? So does John Humphreys. Belle Mooney, in her Devout Skeptics series, interviewed many of these people. Here is John Humphreys. "I didn't ever say I don't believe in God, because I'm not that certain. I really am the most appalling wishy-washy agnostic you will ever meet in a long life. I find it terribly difficult." Jesus' point is, hang on a second, the light is on. The truth is out there. With the coming of Jesus Christ, his truth is being proclaimed. It's right here for everybody to know. God has declared himself once and for all time. We've got a clear picture of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So claiming not to know is like the small child sitting in the lit room with his eyes shut. "Nobody can see me." He may claim that he cannot see and cannot be seen, but the light lays that claim bare as a lie. Now, in verse 18, Jesus drives it further still. So we must have a look at verse 18. "Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." So to the person who has, they will be given more. To the person who has not, why, even what they think they have will be taken away. So be very careful how you listen. The stakes are very high indeed, aren't they? Picture two men standing back to back in the center of a huge open field surrounded by woodland. Have you got the picture? As they stand back to back, one man starts to walk away from the other as the other stands still. The man standing still then turns towards the man who is walking away and calls him, "John." The walking man hears the voice and chooses to ignore it. He's busy. He's got a career to pursue. The school fees need paying. He's got the year-end review to get out of the way and the bonus to think about. He walks on. Again, the standing man calls, "John." By now, the walking man is still further away, and the voice is slightly less clear. He can hear still, but what he hears is less distinct. "I'm sure I heard someone calling," he says to himself. "I think I recognize that voice. But I must get back to what I'm doing at the moment. I'll get back to him one day." Once again, the standing man calls to the man as he continues to walk away. This time, the faint voice is barely perceptible on the wind. "Did I hear something? Was that someone calling?" By now, he's begun to enter the wood at the edge of the field. And as he enters through the trees, the light grows dim, and he is plunged deeper into darkness. Be careful how you listen. Some of us come here on a Tuesday and we've heard and heard and heard and heard. We rather enjoy coming. We've listened, and we've listened, and we've listened, and we've listened. But we've never actually done anything about it. Oh, says Jesus, take care how you listen. The stakes are very high. If you will not respond, if you're just a listener, why, even what you think you have may be snatched away from you. But quite gloriously, to the person who, with a good heart, turns to God in all honesty and integrity and says, "Look, I think you've said something to me. I really want to do something about this. Please show me and teach me more." Quite wonderfully, Jesus says he will lavish more upon us, and more upon us, and more upon us, and more upon us. Now, I knew the group was coming up for the 78 reunion today, and I know some of you. And you know, you may not think this about yourselves, but over the years, your friends will have looked in at lives that have sought to respond to the truth that Jesus Christ teaches. What is 1978? Is it 30 years ago? It's a heck of a long time ago. Anyway, so I must have been about 3 at the time. But over those 30 years, as we've sought to respond to the Word of God, we may not think much is going on. But Jesus says, as we come to him with a good heart, take hold of his Word, so he will add more to it, and more to it, and more to it. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Take care how you listen. And make sure that you act. I haven't got time to tackle verse 21. His mother and brothers come to Jesus. They want to see him, can't get to him because of the crowd. And Jesus says, hang on a second. My true mother and brothers are those who hear the word and act on it. I talked to my children about this morning at the breakfast table, those who were awake and prepared to listen, and in amongst the grunts and slurps of cereal and that sort of thing, we discussed what it meant to be in the family. Security. Permanence. Identity. Belonging. So says Jesus, if you will act on what you hear, come to him. Kneel before him, metaphorically, as it were. Take him as your Lord. Why, you and I can have the privilege of calling ourselves brothers and sisters of God, Jesus. In the family, security, identity, belonging, permanence. Take care how you listen. Make sure that you act. Well, you may like to talk to somebody who you're here with today, if you're here as a visitor, or if you've been coming for years and years, and say, well, how do I know that I really have acted? It'd be a good thing to be discussing, wouldn't it, over lunch together. And what does it mean to listen well? Let me lead us in prayer. We thank and praise you, our Father in heaven, for this quite extraordinary privilege, this grace, undeserved, that human beings like us might be allowed to call ourselves brother and sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would help us to listen well and to act. In Jesus' name. Amen.